The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Does today's gospel reading make you uncomfortable? Maybe it doesn't. Maybe if you grew up Lutheran or in a few other churches, this reading doesn't give you any anxiety. But those of us who grew up in other traditions sometimes hear this reading in a different way. When we hear doubting Thomas, what we really hear is, "Oh, I better believe, I better increase my belief level," or something along those lines, that when you really think about it, doesn't make much sense. Yes, our gospel reading today is often referred to as the story of doubting Thomas. At least it was. For a long time, sermons used to refer to this story as the story of doubting Thomas, but then preachers realized that it's not really a fair description of Thomas, and it might not even be accurate. So there has been an effort in many churches to defend Thomas. I agree. It's not fair to look at him as some lousy person who couldn't believe that Jesus had risen, as if it should have been common sense realization somehow. And I agree, but it's not my big concern. My worry is that if we focus on the whole doubt versus belief thing, we miss a far more important part of the story. And I think we lose something really important if we focus just on Thomas's request for proof. There is far more to this story, so let's explore it. The story starts shortly after last week's gospel reading. The story begins on Easter evening, with the disciples hiding, frightened, in a locked room. They were hiding from the Jewish authorities, and the disciples weren't totally sure what had happened. It had been a long, strange, unprecedented day. As Pastor Ingrid reminded us last week, the day began in darkness, depression, and despair. Jesus had been killed, and to the disciples, that wasn't supposed to have happened. In fact, it wasn't supposed to have even been possible. But it did happen, and the day began with that reality. But that was only the beginning. The day quickly turned to panic, distress, and confusion as Mary Magdalene reported that Jesus' body was gone. it had been moved or stolen. But the story would soon change again as Mary Magdalene later ran to the disciples, filled with excitement, to report that she had seen Jesus risen. To say the day must have been confusing seems like a bit of an understatement. It certainly seems like an emotional roller coaster of a day. Depression and darkness turns to panic, distress, and maybe excitement, which then turned into fear and maybe doubt, and confusion was present for all of it. We are told the disciples are hiding behind a locked door because of the fear of Jewish authorities, but we're not really told what they are afraid of. It is likely they are afraid that the Jewish authorities will claim they stole Jesus' body, but we're never specifically told that. Personally, I have other questions as well. Did the disciples believe Mary Magdalene, or did they think she was crazy? Were the disciples doubting? Did they believe Jesus had risen from the dead? If they did, then why were they hiding? Were they maybe afraid of Jesus? If not afraid, they certainly had reasons to be, at the very least, embarrassed or ashamed to see Jesus. After all, Good Friday had certainly not been the disciples' shining moment. They fled, they deserted, they denied. So maybe that was the reason the disciples were hiding, or maybe it was just one out of many reasons. Regardless, they are behind a locked door and hiding. I think it's interesting that Mary Magdalene said she saw Jesus, but we don't have a scene of the disciples going out and looking for Jesus. Maybe they did, but if they did, they seemed to fail. Instead, we are told Jesus came to them, despite their confusion and fear and maybe pain. Jesus still came to them. I think that's incredibly important to notice. After all, we all have our own share of confusion and fear, right? And sometimes it seems we're surrounded in a culture that tells us to chase after Jesus as if we could somehow catch him, as if everything rests on our ability to find Jesus. But this gospel story tells us something quite different. It tells us that despite our confusion and fear, pain, or anxiety, even if we're at the point that all we're able to do is hide, Jesus still comes to us through all of that confusion and pain and whatever doors and walls we have put around us. Jesus still comes to us, and he makes his way through to us, and it is not dependent on us at all. Back to the story. Jesus stood among them, and he gave them the Holy Spirit. This is also important because it means this whole resurrection thing doesn't mean that Jesus' death was undone and everything is back to normal. The death was very real. He still has the scars, but things are different now. Life is different now. In this story, Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, and we now have the Holy Spirit with us. We have a God who created us, who has such great love for us, that God became incarnate in Jesus and died for us, and we have a God who is now with us always through the Holy Spirit. Life is not the same as it was. Life is new. But Thomas wasn't there for this encounter, and we're not told where he was. We're left to guess. My guess is that he was either writing a sermon he had to preach the next day or working on a massive essay for his ordination approval, but I digress. Whatever the reason, he wasn't there. And when the disciples later tell Thomas that they saw Jesus, Thomas doesn't settle for their experience. So often I hear people trying to measure their experience against someone else's, and that's not fair to do. Just because your experience isn't the same as someone else's doesn't mean your experience is any less real, important, or holy. Nor should you try to live through others' experience, thinking that if you didn't share in their experience, you failed. And Thomas doesn't settle for their experience. In his defense, things have been crazy and confusing. Thomas just wants to see Jesus himself. He simply wants the truth. And this echoes back to Good Friday, when Pilate stood there asking, what is truth? It's very similar, but very different from what Thomas wants. Professor Cornel West argues that when Pilate asked, what is truth, he was looking for a proposition, but he should have been looking for a person. Thomas wants the truth, but he wants the person. He wants to experience the risen Christ. But he doesn't go out chasing Jesus as if Jesus can be caught. Instead, Thomas seems to wait. So a week goes by, an entire week. And I think that's a detail we often glance over without thinking about. All the disciples had seen Jesus except Thomas. And a day goes by, and maybe Thomas is thinking, I'm sure he'll come to me tomorrow. And then another day goes by, and then another, and then another. And soon Thomas might wonder if Jesus is going to come to him at all. Thomas may have doubt, but it might be more than just doubting Jesus had risen from the dead. He might doubt whether he is going to encounter the risen Jesus. And he might even doubt himself, believing that he is the reason Jesus hadn't come to him. Since Jesus had come to the other disciples, it could reason that way. Eventually, an entire week goes by, and once again, the disciples are in the same house with the door closed. Despite the fact that Jesus had come to them the week earlier, they seem to be hiding again, and again, they appear to be in some sort of fear. And even though Jesus had come to them just 7 days earlier, he comes to them again. And this time, Thomas is there, and Thomas sees Jesus' hands and side, and Thomas sees his scars. And it is then that Thomas says, "My Lord, my God." This is really important because nowhere else in the gospel does anyone make a statement as strong as Thomas's, and nowhere else does anyone get it so right. And Thomas also adds in the personal element, "My Lord, my God." If there is something that Thomas should be known for, it is that statement, not about any doubt he may or may not have. But admittedly, it is easier to call him Doubting Thomas as opposed to Accurate Understanding of the Person and Identity of Christ Thomas. But again, I digress. But then Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." That doesn't mean if you don't believe, then you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that if someone doesn't believe, that God is going to ignore them. Jesus never says, "You must believe for me to come to you." In fact, it doesn't even seem to be a factor. But a quick word on belief, on the idea that you can attain some high level of belief, or even the idea you can attain some basic minimal level of belief. It's not true. Sin gets in the way. As a certain resident Lutheran theologian has been known to say, "I believe that I cannot believe." Let me put that another way. A few years ago, I heard a theologian speak by the name of Peter Rollins. And Peter Rollins said something that had a helpful understanding about belief, and it's like this. If someone is to ask me if I'm a Christian, if I'm honest, my answer should be no, but I want to be. You see, I may say I believe in Christ. I may say I believe in the resurrection. But every time I ignore someone who is suffering or someone who is hungry, I deny the resurrection. Every time I ignore someone who is lost or lonely, I deny the resurrection. We want to believe, but sin gets in the way. So we are left praying and borrowing a verse from the Gospel of Mark, "Lord, I want to believe. Help my unbelief." And that prayer is helpful because it helps us to realize that any belief we do have, it's entirely from God, entirely through the Holy Spirit. It is not a measure of our own ability. Instead, God comes to us anyway. And that's the point. That's the most important part of our gospel reading today. It's not about worrying how little or how much we believe. It's not about some strange kind of belief benchmark that in reality we could never attain. Because it's not about how much we believe, and it's not about chasing after Jesus. It's about Jesus coming to us. All are welcome here. And it's here in this place, in hearing God's word and in sharing the meal, that God comes to us again and again, week after week. And it doesn't depend on us. Instead, we depend on God, all while praying, Lord, I believe that I cannot believe. Help our unbelief. Amen. For our next hymn, we are singing verses 1 through 5.